Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 559, Halo Collecting, recorded live on November 8th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back from another good week of not Halo. And now we're looking at elections for those in the U.S., so it's been a very interesting day so far for us recording. But we have some things to take our mind off of the election stuff, at least for us in the U.S., and that is Halo consumer product stuff. We have the folks on from Halo Collector, Mr. Kevin Hurd, and Mr. Laird have graced us with their presence tonight.
I diddly ho, neighbors to the south.
Hey, you might have a few of those not being neighbors and might be permanent residents after tonight.
I guess they're called, what, expats or something like that?
I don't know.
Draft Dodgers.
Draft Dodgers.
Anyways, so we are going to be taking a look at different Halo collectibles, different Halo merchandise pieces, and we have a few interviews lined up to place in this episode as well after the show. We have an interview with James Monosmith, who is the sales and marketing manager for the Halo consumer products. We had a little interview with him earlier today, and then we have a couple of other Halo merchandise partners that we have interviews with, and we'll get to include those in this episode. So I don't think we've ever had a show that focuses specifically on products. We've had Kevin and Laird on the podcast before, but we never had a podcast to really focus on the world of Halo collectibles and everything. So I figured it might be a good time, since we're a little bit in a lull of Halo news, to kind of explore that. And one of the big communities behind collecting Halo stuff is Halo Collector. So I will hand it over to Laird and Kevin for the time being, and I'll just throw the question out to you guys. What is Halo Collector, and how did it get founded, and what's its purpose for those who may have not heard of Halo Collector before?
Halo Collector is a community of people who are like-minded in collecting Halo, of course. It's a great place where people can discuss new products coming out, old products that they have, collections, stuff they'd like to see. It started, 5 years ago, maybe six, not quite
after sure. After another community decided to go under, yes.
Yes, there were a couple forums that were based on collecting Halo, specifically action figures, and so those were kind of, everybody was switching over to Facebook and doing the social media stuff. And so we were like, hey, you know, let's start up a Facebook group. And now years down the road, we're almost 4,000 members strong, and we're growing every day.
That's pretty impressive, too, for the Halo community, given that how disparate people are kind of distributed amongst different interests and different groups within kind of a larger Halo community. So 4,000 people is nothing to shy away from, for sure.
That's why Facebook is the common denominator. Anybody can have a Facebook account, and it's just, you know, it binds everyone together. You know, if you have a Reddit or a Twitter and all those other things, you know, you can't just all be in one place with that. Everyone has their own separate account. That's why the group thing, I guess, kind of worked in our favor.
Nice.
There've been kind of a there've been some people that hung out at the spawn.com forums, the official McFarlane toy forums. And there were some people that hung out at one Halo themed toy forum, and there was another one, and there was a few others that were hanging out at other brands at the time that were making Halo items, and so we just thought that it was a good way to get everybody together and on board, and be a little bit more than just talking about the action figures. We're talking about products, from stickers and notebooks to costumes to to action figures, to statues, to your favorite Halo pajamas.
To that journal that Dust loves so much.
Stop it.
Oh, no, I meant the Oni journal, not that one.
Oh, okay. But that one's empty. That one's meant to be filled in.
Yes, but you still love your leather-bound journal, right?
Yes, I do. You bring
it everywhere, so...
My signing journal, yeah.
It's that one.
It's a good one. I like it. It's got some history to it, too. So, give us a little bit of background of some of the Halo collectibles kind of through the years, starting back with Halo 1, because I definitely didn't start my collection of stuff until probably around the days of Halo Reach when Mega Bloks started making sets for stuff, and I was collecting like the collectibles and everything. So how did all the products start back in the day? What was kind of the big things?
Joyride. That's all there was.
Basically, other than just collecting editions of the game, which there's plenty of those with the different, you know, promo editions, the game of the year editions, there was a lot of variants in the original game, but yeah, the main product that really kicked it off was the Joyride action figures, and right off the bat, they started with the 6-7 inch style, and then they've also started out with their approximately 2.5 inch size. So right off the bat, they had those two lines, and it was a pretty good offering for the first time Halo merchandise had been offered.
Yep, $20 got you a 7-inch old school looking Master Chief, or you could get a little 2-inch Warthog, the original one, or minifigures, or a Banshee, and what else was there? You get like a 7-inch Elite, Sergeant Johnson, what was that other guy's name? Sergeant Stacker.
And Joyride was a company that their action figures were kind of just video game based to begin with, was their main kind of thing. And so actually only GameStop and a few other places carried them. So they were very limited.
Toys R Us up here in Canada had them.
Yeah. But not in any amount. It was actually, they were, you know, you might see a case or two and then they would be gone. And so, they got pretty popular pretty fast, actually.
I'm still kicking myself when I saw Cortana on the shelf there and I never picked her up. Picked Chief up in the Warthog, but not Cortana.
So I guess the Joyride stuff was kind of some of the iconic pieces of Halo, because now we have all the different collector's editions, we have the books, we have controllers, posters, and all that stuff with a wide gambit of things. So it was the old style, kind of just like the iconic pieces just from the game, aside from the books.
Well, I mean, Joyride was the, Kevin will correct me, I'm sure, but was the first official product line. Like, there wasn't anything really as a product, like a partner, or, you know, it's like now there's Dark Horse and Mattel and, you know, all these different teams and companies that, you know, have participated, but Joyride was it. Like, there was products put out for Halo, but they weren't purchasable at the consumer level, you know, like you could walk into a store and buy it. Like, I know a couple of our friends have these really rare Halo 1 dog tags that came in a metal case, and I think you could only get them in Japan, but those were Microsoft items. Joyride was like the thing.
They were only consumer merchandise. There was other collectibles out there in the way of promotional material. Obviously, the different, you know, there's always shirts and hats and, you know, stuff like that, posters that are produced that are always collectible. But Joyride was the first consumer products licensed items that were for sale. You could go out and get various magazines talking about Halo and have, you know, it would have the Master Chief on the cover. And those, you know, a lot of people collected that type of stuff. But yeah, until Halo 2 rolled around, the Joyride was really the only thing in town.
And I don't think they make any more Halo stuff now, correct?
Not since Halo 2. the last thing they made, Kevin, I'm sure you'll correct me, was the Halo San Diego Comic-Con 2007 Halo graphic novel ODSTs. The two, the regular and the paint splattered one. Did they make anything after that?
That's about right, yeah.
So 2007 was probably when they finished.
Halo 3 was when they made the switch to 343.
Bungie
made the switch to McFarlane and their action figures. So up till then, it was just joyrides for the action figures.
And didn't what was that, the little car line that they also did? Johnny Rockets or something like that. They
Johnny Lightnings.
Johnny Lightnings, right.
Which were a company, which is a, they were racing champions, racing champions owned Joyride. So they were a subsidiary.
They were called Diecast, weren't they?
Yes, they're basically a alternative to current Hot Wheels.
Diecast Express or something like that.
Yeah. That's Joyride, I believe, was right after that went out of business after they lost their main license. I'm not even sure if Racing Champions and that is all still around either.
They actually had prototyped the Halo 3 Master Chief. I've seen images of it. Joyride, that is.
Yeah, some lucky few people do have some awesome Joyride items. I've seen a set of plushie figures from Joyride. That
I've never seen or even heard of that.
Yeah, it was a beanbag Master Chief.
So are there a lot of different products that are developed in concept that just never end up hitting the street because of a possible lack of interest, or what determines if those kinds of products just don't get made for consumers? What's kind of that threshold?
Yeah,
there could be a whole bunch of reasons, from lack of interest to licensing problems. I mean,
delays. I mean, let's take a perfect example of the Romeo figure that they had posted and pictures, and they even had prototype figures, and for years and years and years we got the whole team, but we didn't get Romeo, and then they just didn't do it for whatever reason. You know, I'm pretty sure it was because of the delay. They had 2 years to put it out, but then Halo 4 came around, and, you know, they moved on to Halo 4 from the previous, what was it, Halo Universe line. That's a perfect example of something that got put out there and people wanted, but for whatever reason.
Some of the stuff that I really cry over late at night is some of the Halo 3 items that got set aside. There is a company called Master Replicas, and Master Replicas was a company that produced replica props, and their mainstay was mostly Star Wars lightsabers and helmets and blasters and various other movie FX props. And they had started doing some Halo prototyping, and they actually came out with a couple of Halo pieces, and their little 1/6 scale die-cast a battle rifle and a Covey carbine.
Yep.
And those got released, and they were planning on a really nice FX electric energy sword, which was just, it looked amazing. But another thing that they were planning was a 18-inch die-cast Master Chief. And wow, it looked amazing. It was a nice doll body, and all the armor on it was die-cast. So I could only guess that thing must have weighed a ton.
And but cost a fortune.
It was definitely high quality, very awesome. Master Replicas also, at the time, they had prototyped some like 1/2 scale helmets. And if you ever get the chance, you might have seen that them pictured in some of the videos of 343's lobby. They're actually, they sit in a display case, and they're prototypes, which are very, very cool. A red and a blue one.
So, Kev, in your opinion, why don't you explain why some of this stuff doesn't hit the market?
There's a lot of reasons. It could be timing. Could be maybe they can't settle on cost. Could be just there's so many different reasons. You know, it's like making a movie. You've got to have a perfect storm for everything to work out. And then even when you do get the finished result, it, you know, not necessarily is what you had hoped for, but hopefully is done well enough that people still enjoy it.
So as far as, because I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of different ideas get thrown out there that people would like, other than delays and maybe like product quality. Is there any point where product gets put out there and maybe it just isn't up to the quality that I guess now 343 would want it, or is there any other kind of considerations that might just completely kill off a product before even people hear about it?
Yes. Are we allowed to talk about that certain large scale figure, Kev?
Sure. I have. Go ahead.
So a lot of people that do collect Halo know that it was 3A, not 3-0, right? 3A? 3A had created high-end Halo figures, like, what was it, 1/12 scale. And those were the Reach, Carter, Emil, and then Halo 4, Thorn, and Master Chief. Now, they prototyped the George figure, which everyone wanted. But that's never going to come to be because the other figures were fine. That's Thorn Thorn, Carter, and Emil. But we all know the brand is based on Master Chief, and they butchered that figure. Like, there must have been whoever was in charge of that contract at 3A just was not paying attention, asleep at the wheel, because basically, of their mistreatment of Master Chief, they canceled the line. Is, you know, pretty much, you know, you butcher the mascot, you're not gonna be able to get keep going. Like, everyone that thing had such bad QC. Like, I can't actually say anything positive about it. That's how bad it is. And the company's treatment of their customers was not how you treat customers, especially people that buy high-end products from your company, especially when your company is supposed to be known for good customer service and high-end products. And that was a lesson of what not to do. That's all I'll say publicly.
Yeah, it takes a relationship between the consumer, the manufacturer, and of course the licensor, the Halo, 343 now, to, you know, really, really everybody be happy to turn out and keep going with items. And in that case, there was a lot of feedback with the consumer that, what was enough that it just, you know, people had no trust in any product that would be following. So I'm guessing that's the reason why we don't see any more of that line.
That kind of sucks to hear that something that had that much potential just get not done because there was some QA that just wasn't looked over.
Well, you know, think about that for a second. You are 343 and Microsoft. You, Master Chief, is the face of your company. You had three good figures, and then they, as an example, now this is my opinion, not the company's or anybody else's opinion, just want to put that out there. You have the mascot of the company, the you know, the star. If it appears, in my opinion, that the 3A basically got just didn't put the care that they did for other product lines like Marvel or Star Wars or whatever other lines, they just basically, it seemed like they didn't care. They pushed Halo to the back burner when it came to that one figure. And you can't do that to Master Chief. I mean, you shouldn't really do that to any of your licensees. But you wouldn't do that to Luke Skywalker or or, you know, Iron Man or Captain America. You just wouldn't do it. They did it to, you know, Microsoft's Halo, and I would be pretty jaded and upset too if they did that to our number one product face mascot person thing.
Yeah, you got the face of a franchise. You want it to look good.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the other manufacturers or companies out there that make brands that people may not be aware of? I know there's a lot of front line for the Boomco stuff, so Mattel has a lot of frontline visibility as far as official Halo posts go, as well as the McFarlane stuff when they were first coming out, and then you have all the shirts and the books and whatnot. But what are some of the other, maybe not as well known companies out there that are actually licensed to make Halo products?
Mustard brand.
Yeah, they make the clothing. They make the big jackets.
Yeah.
Kotobukiya.
Kodos, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the company, but the Bluetooth speaker company that's doing the big Master Chief.
Oh yeah, and AC Worldwide.
AC World, yep. Which those look pretty spectacular by what they've shown us.
Godzilla's been pretty quiet. We should have him say some stuff.
I told him to butt in.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Godzilla, tell us what you got on your shelf and what you like.
Well, I don't really do much toy collecting.
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, it's not just.
Well, I should say toy or figurine. I'm more into the lore, so the books and the games. Okay, so you got books.
That's all part of it.
Yeah. I wish I could collect more, but, you know, the whole budget thing. Eating by Halo stuff. Eating usually wins. I've collected a few pieces. Favorite thing in my collection?
Yes. Doesn't have to be the most expensive. It can be the coolest thing to you. For whatever reason.
That's a really good question, because I really like all of them. Actually, probably the most favorite things in my collection are the books.
Which books?
All
Mythos,
of them.
Fall of Reach,
well, there. Don't get me wrong, there's books I like better than others, but overall, I like all the books, because it's something I can enjoy over and over again.
The Halsey Journal?
Well, at least the first 22 pages of it. That seems about all as far as I can get. Then I get distracted with something else.
Hey, you're doing better than me.
I've got a few of the Halo 4 figurines that, you know, family and friends have gotten me for, you know, birthday and Christmas presents. Those kind of hold a special place in my heart just because they were given to me. Cool. But yeah, I would really like to collect more of the stuff that's out there, like the Bluetooth speaker, which I have absolutely no use for. But, you know, it's like I didn't even buy a set of A50s because they would just sit on my shelf. The actual Halo A50s.
Yeah, the Master Chief or the Halo 5 ones. Mm-hmm. Either are good stuff.
I hope to expand my collection. I do enjoy looking at other people's collections. I would like to visit 343's collection one of these days.
Just got to get out there. We'll make it happen.
And they've been building out that museum of stuff, which is actually, there's some stuff in there that I wish was actual consumable products, at least just from going there from PAX West now, not PAX Prime. Prime.
No, it's Prime. It's always Prime.
But seeing some of the stuff in there, especially from the live action trailers that they did and some of the ODST stuff, would be really cool to have in person.
Mm-hmm.
DMRs are huge. They're huge. There's no way a person could function with those things. That's off topic. Never mind. Don't want to go off the top.
Getting into some technical military discussion there.
No, Godzilla got mad when we they're not mad. He just let me in, what's his name, when we had that discussion about the different pistols when we were playing on Friday or whatever it was a couple weeks ago.
I just let you go.
Hey, well, yeah, that's what I meant.
I just kept playing the game.
Oh, Reaper or whatever. I think it was Reaper. Anyways.
You know, honestly, I do enjoy that part of the discussion. You know, because Halo as a universe has so much to offer any collector. It doesn't really matter what you're into collecting. You know, collecting books, collecting games, figurines.
Artwork.
Artwork.
Mega
there's something for everybody.
That's why we don't exclude anybody. That's why I said whatever's special to you. Some people, it's weird. I know a guy that was all like, he was super hyped. The thing that was most special to him was, do you guys remember a couple years ago, the McFarlane Halo 3 controllers? The ones that had like all the artwork for Halo 3, Master Chief, and it came with a little action figure.
Sounds familiar.
There was a Brute controller
and a Warthog one.
And a Warthog.
It had like it's the 360 controllers. They were like had artwork like comic art on them. Like
oh, drawings. I know which ones you're talking about. Yeah.
The figures, there was a Master Chief with an assault rifle and a Master Chief with a shotgun. And then there was a variant that was super rare and hard to find. And a friend of mine worked at McFarlane, and he gave me a bunch of those little tiny Master Chiefs that are like 2 inches tall, the black one and the shotgun. And my friend was a super big red versus blue fan. And I didn't think anything of it. And I gave him one of those little things back in 2007. And to this day, anytime I see him at a convention or just meet up with him, he always brings up, I love that little Master Chief. It's been on my desk. You know, it's a double duty because I love text and I love, you know, Halo 3 and all that, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, that little Master Chief figure has sat on my desk for nearly 10 years and it will sit there until it either breaks or, you know, so something so tiny and plastic. You know, it's just weird that someone can have such an attachment to something and so little, and that's their favorite thing in the world. And that always makes me smile when he brings that up. So, I don't know.
I have a similar thing that happened to me was early on when the Mega Bloks started coming out, they had a promotion where you could just enter your name and they would send away a little Spartan in a mailer to you. And that was a big introduction to a lot of people for their first Halo Mega Bloks. And one of the special things in that was that out of all these thousands that they were sending out, 100 of them were special active camo Master Chief. And it was a total random chance you could get one. And so I had gotten through various friends and I sent a couple emails off under, you know, different names, and I got a few, but I didn't get any of the special one of 100 AC Spartans. And, you know, that was a very cherished thing. You know, one of 100 is a very small run. And a local friend of mine was like, oh, I have one. And I'm like, no, you don't have one. Stop pulling my finger. And he no, like, no, I have one. And he sent me a picture of it he's got a tattoo and he put it on his arm and took a picture of it. And he said, it's yours. And I was just blown away. And that's probably my most cherished Halo item because here's a local friend. He knew I was into Halo. This is a really super rare piece. And he was like, no, dude, it's yours. Enjoy it. And it's something that you couldn't even pry it out of my dead cold head, dead cold hands.
Remember, me and Cody get the stuff in the will. I got the consoles, remember? The signed consoles.
I don't know. At this point, I think I might just sign everything back over to Microsoft so they can fill some holes in their...
And they can pry the consoles from my dead cold hands, like you were saying. They're mine. Already claimed international dibs.
I think mine has to be the NECA Needler, just because it's the iconic weapon from Halo that kind of stands out from the original game. Like, you have your pistol, you have your assault rifle, and a lot of the other stuff that's kind of common, at least from a militaristic apart from the UNSC side of things, and then you have a lot of the plasma weapons, which have kind of cross-pollinated a lot across a lot of different sci-fi games. So then the Needler for me is just kind of one of those, that's Halo's like unique weapon, and it's life size, which is kind of cool, and it turns heads for whenever I have friends over. It's like the one thing that people will like stop and look at, and it's like, what is that thing? I think that thing for me is
For me personally, I have two that are really kind of, I don't know, it's more the memories that are attached to them. One is that year that we got the Sandboxer Spartans all done at Comic-Con and we all stayed together. I don't know, that Sandboxer Spartan, I mean, it's cool, mine. And you remember I ordered like six of them for everybody and and went back and, you know, my card, it's just more of the memories of my, they wouldn't accept my credit card and I had to call the bank through your phone and, you know, so it's kind of the memory, that Spartan, because of the memories and just because it was a lot of hard work a couple of the years prior was those, what was it, the Comic-Con helmet pins, the set, getting the Halo 4 helmet set. Those were so hard to get. Especially full sets, and what was it, I call it the Dead Space helmet. It's got three lines for light. Ventnor helmet? I think it was the Ventnor helmet. That was the hardest one. But getting that full set was just the memories, because I think that was the first year, Kevin, you went to Comic-Con, and you know, you just kind of experienced it and had that fun time. So it's kind of like earning that, that was kind of like a medal, a badge of honor, whatever you want, getting a full set. So that's probably my favorite thing in my whole collection. It's not that big, but the pin set, and then a couple years later, the Sandboxer Spartan. But it's more the memories tied to that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that memories is part of it, too. And I think that's one of the kind of driving factors of at least people kind of collecting some things. I know for me, one of the things I started, one of the reasons why I started collecting Mega Bloks was because I grew up collecting Legos, Star Wars Legos. And whenever they first started coming out with the Mega Bloks during Halo Reach, it was one of those things like, oh, this is a tie back to my childhood. This is something I could really get back into. And that's kind of my main drive of collectibles outside of anything that's officially console stuff, like the controllers, special edition consoles, the limited edition games. So outside of those and the novels, Mega Bloks is my other primary collecting thing for the franchise.
We're going to have to fix that.
Why is that?
No reason.
Well, I agree. I think Mega Bloks are one of the best items to collect out of all the Halo items you can collect. And of course, this year, you know, with the new name change, it's going to be a little bit of a everything now that is going to be constructs, and it won't be Mega Bloks, and so everything with Mega Bloks is now like that's part of history. You know, you won't be able to go to the shelf and see, hey, you know, Halo Mega Bloks. It'll be Halo constructs. So that's going to be, you know, that's a real turning point.
I'd just like to point out real quick, it's 9:52 and Cortana just reminded me to set a reminder to go vote. It's like, it's too late for that. Thanks.
Not if you were in line doing the podcast from, you know, wherever you need to be, you know. As long as you're in line and the doors are still open, you know, you can still vote.
Yeah, Cortana reminded me at about 7 o'clock. Right.
Cortana's not allowed to work in Canada, so, you know, tough luck. Tough luck, lady.
The polls closed at 7 o'clock.
She hit the maple syrup wall we built, you know, not too long ago.
We have someone on the feed that asks about the Triforce helmets and if they're making Chief. So far, we've only found out about three of them. And
one wasn't supposed to be revealed, but we got someone sneaky in there and got some pictures.
Yeah, that was quite cool.
You have spies everywhere.
Yep.
You know, so, that's what happened.
But yeah, there's the Kelly one and the Locke one, and they actually had them painted at New York Comic Con this year.
And there's a Fred one coming.
Right, that was the one that was in the back.
Exactly, that's one of our guys gone in there and got a picture of it. But they are supposed to be making them. We don't want to say when they're coming because Triforce delays a lot for some reason. But supposedly the plasma rifles are supposed to be coming, that were supposed to be coming years ago, are coming this first quarter, Kevin. 2017, pretty much guaranteed, I believe, is what we've been seeing or
hearing? Very soon. So hopefully as soon as those come out, we'll hear more from them.
Those would be cool to have, but it's just taking so long for them to come out. It's almost like people probably forgotten about them by now.
And that's one of the things.
Them too.
You asked earlier about, you know, why products get canceled sometimes, and that's, you know, take a look at the Sideshow Master Chief statue. That statue was, I believe, originally supposed to come out for the Master Chief collection.
No, it was supposed to come out for Halo CE, the release of CE.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Halo CE, I'm sorry.
CE, derp.
And it just got pushed back, and Sideshow was making all these Marvel statues and everything else, and it always seems like the Master Chief got pushed back, and it finally made it out, and people got really excited about the Cortana statue they started showing off. But again, you know, it's like, well, with the 2-3 year wait on the Master Chief statue, when could you expect to have the Cortana statue out, you know?
Like 343 and Microsoft, they don't want Halo Cortana from, you know, CEA coming out when Halo 5 is releasing. It's a different Cortana by then, you know? It's kind of confusing to the audience.
Yeah, it's a huge juggling act, you know? Because you have games that are coming out, and you want product to support the games, and if they can't get, you know, them matched up to get out there, then there's a problem. And you know, obviously, you know, when like, let's say a major movie launches, you know, but within, you know, usually a month or so before the movie comes out, there's usually the toys start showing up. You know, if you had a company that was saying, oh well, yeah, we'll have those toys for the launch of this game to help promote it, and then they weren't showing up till months later
or years,
yeah, you know, how well do you think those are gonna sell, you know? Because it's when a game comes out, when something popular comes out, it helps push everything along, and when you're getting these jolts, these pushes from out of the blue when people can't meet deadlines and stuff, it just makes a real mess of it.
I'll tell you one partner that they, I guess it would be kind of recent, picked up. Dark Horse, they put stuff out when the games come out and on time, and it's good quality stuff. Like, the Halo 5 stuff, granted, it launched a little after, you know, but it was within 6 months. I mean, you've got, you know, we got a little bit of the Halo 1 era stuff. We got the Halo 5 stuff, and in time for Halo Wars 2, we're getting the nice Spirit of Fire model that's supposed to launch, I think, right alongside Halo Wars 2. That's how you do a product launch, within the window of when the item that it's supposed to be, you know, launched parallel to, that's how you do it. You don't launch something 10 months, 2 years later, 4 years later. It's supposed to be when it comes out within a, you know, relative period. And that's why I like their course. They do quality work, and they stick, at least in their models. Other stuff, you know, I don't want to start a fight in the comments or wherever, but at least with their ship model stuff, good quality stuff on and on time.
Yeah, and that's something I think that's of worth and value, is making sure that you have at least deliverable time frames that are reasonable for people wanting to buy your product. Or if it's going to take a while to manufacture, then give people realistic deadlines. Because one of the things I'm thinking of, especially when it comes to delays, if these companies are making these products, it's understandable that some delays may occur. But if it's delays because of reprioritization, or if it's delays that is caused by manufacturing delays, then they should really be trying to accommodate for that, and whenever they say the release date's going to be, I would think.
Yeah, especially when they're taking pre-order money up in advance of said product coming out. You know, like
specifically, what do you call it? Triforce.
Yeah,
that's kind of a some people expect that in the statue industry, because it seems like that's how a lot of the higher end companies work. There's a lot of date pushbacks and stuff, but there's just a point that, you know, it becomes unacceptable. And when you're dealing with collectors that, you know, have budgets and stuff, they need to set goals, and they need to have legitimate windows of time.
They need structure.
Structure is
even well, on the structure is in, like Kevin was saying, a budget, right? I mean, if as a collector, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take $2,000 for the year as my budget to buy crap, as an example. I'm only going to be able to, I want this and want this, and I'm gonna leave a little bit open in case something pops up that's unannounced or, you know, whatever, and I wanna get in on the pre-order. Okay, so I'm gonna spend this much in January, I'm going to spend this much at Comic-Con and PAX and buy stuff. And then I've got X left over for that unannounced thing. People want to be able to know where they're going to be able to save their money and spend it, or, you know, be able to put it towards something else or save it, as an example. That's why people want structure, I guess. I mean, wouldn't you want to be able to know that in January that, you know, $500 you bought for your, put aside for that helmet, you could actually go buy your helmet and not have it pushed back till, oh great, now it's $650 and it's coming out in July. And now you need that money for something else. People like structure.
Okay, gotcha.
Consistency is also, on smaller items that you don't need to pre-plan on, consistency helps with items that are come out time after time, because then as time passes, the older items get more collectible because there's more people joining in on collecting them. And it's a consistent flow that if, let's say you have something once a month, that you know that by the end of the first year, there's going to be more people into collecting that item than there is when it first started.
Like Loot Crate. For example,
like Loot Crate, that's what's great about Loot Crate is that, you know, every couple of months, you know, you get those items. And I think some of the most important items are the items that are connected to each other. They're like the statues, of course, are, you know, it's a series, but like
the patches on the backpack.
Like, there's a lot of people that are into pins and they're into collecting the pins, and to know that there's a pin in every box is something that they can, you know, when a period of time passes, they can make a nice display of that. Hey, look, I've got this nice display of the pins, and it's just not a one-off item. It's something that looks good together as a group because they've had that time of collecting them.
Don't forget the rare ones that are in every however many thousand or whatever.
Oh yeah, this time, yeah. So there was a chase pin this time in the second box, and I only look forward to maybe, you know, seeing, you know, something like that in future boxes.
Dust, this is where you plug the Loot Crate. Plug it.
Yeah, lootcrate.com/podtacular, and then use the promo code podtacular for $3 off your crate. First crate. If you get multiple crates, you don't get it off again. So it's whenever you get your first one.
Order and cancel. That's how you do it. Keep getting that discount.
I don't think it.
No, it does. Someone asked me if they should cancel their thing, and I said, well, that's kind of a Loot Crate question. And they said, well, if you cancel your thing, you can reapply and get the code, and then after, you know, your subscription runs out and you cancel and you reorder and use a different code or the same code or whatever. They said that's exactly what they said in the email. I said, if that's what they said, then go with what they said. So in theory, according to this person, you know, Loot Crate said, yeah, you can do that.
Your best bet is just to buy the 12-month subscription and get the cheapest level box. And then you get that bonus pin, and then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year. That's the best way to do it.
It is. It's just some people don't have, you know, the kind of money that Luke is asking to just throw down to buy Halo stuff. I'm just saying, there are, you know, according to Loot Crate, you can also do it that alternate way and save just as much instead of buying, say, the 12-month or whatever subscription.
So if there's a particular theme that you want and you only want to do month-to-month, then I guess it would work that way. That's kind of what you're getting at.
Yeah, I don't want to go off topic and tell people how to do something that Loot Crate might not want. I'm just saying that's what Loot Crate said to this one individual, and you could do it, in theory.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, if it is possible, then I guess you could do just do the one crate subscription, the 2-month subscription, and then whenever another crate comes along that you're interested in, then you can look at doing that crate specifically and then use the Podtacular code again.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Sometimes some people, you know, only want to get, you know, example for me, I currently am not getting the CE case crate. I have a month to sit there and ponder, am I going to help Podtacular, or I'm going to help Halo Collector, or whoever, Green Skull, or Anthony's Customs, or whoever I decide to throw the code up for. But the thing is, you can do that. As long as you don't cancel your subscription mid-subscription, you wait till it's done, you know, your 2-month, 6-month, year subscription, once it's done, you can reorder with another code and get that 10% off. So, you know, you can help multiple people if you wanted to, in theory.
There you go.
So has everybody gotten the Loot Crate? Halo Crate?
Yes, I've gotten mine.
Yep, I've got my first two.
Yep, same here.
And you guys have been satisfied with them, both of them, so far?
I'd say so, yeah.
I haven't opened mine yet.
Hold on. Wait, before we go into spoiler territory, do you know what is in the second one, Godzilla?
Yes, I know what is in the second one.
Okay. And the audience probably should know, it's been a week or 2 weeks since it's come out, so spoilers, you know, there's some really cool ODST stuff in there. I was satisfied with the pin, I really liked the documents, the shirt was awesome, but that's because I can wear it. The pants, I haven't put on yet, and I don't know if I ever will, so that was the only kind of disappointment, and I was hoping that it would have stayed consistent, where you would have got a clothing item, a pin, documents, something, and the figure. You know, like, I don't know, a beer stein, a shot glass, a plushie, like, you know, how we got the Mr. Chief. Something like that. A little trinket thing like that. I don't know. I think 2 clothing items, not what I would want.
I do like the poster versus...
Oh, and the poster. Sorry, I forgot.
Having a booklet. I thought the poster was...
Yeah, that was actually a good idea. I just don't like the 2 clothing items. I would have preferred a physical thing. I don't know, whatever, a plushie, you know, a beer stein, you know, like an ODST engraved, laser engraved beer stein or cup or whatever, or a coffee cup, whatever, something physical. Like, you know, we had something useful. We had the backpack, right, which, you know, can be used. And we had the hoodie in the first one and the plushie. You know, we had stuff. It's the pants. I don't know. I can wear the pants. It's just I don't want to wear Halo pants when I sleep.
Based on the service, and, I mean, overall, in general, you might not have liked every item, but overall, the boxes, the 2 boxes that everybody's gotten have been pretty good.
3.5 out of 5 is what I would give them both. 75%. A-okay. Good stuff needs a little improvement.
I would say 4 out of 5 myself.
I would say 4 out of 5 for me.
Everything always needs improvement.
Yeah, I think there's some cool other little things that they can do with the crates and kind of little exclusive things that they could probably do with it. Because there was some stuff, I think, in the first one that I already, or I think from both of them I already had previously.
There's nothing in the first one you could have had. These items, that's the only time they've been released.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I thought there was something in either the first one or the second one that... I could be thinking of something else then.
Everything. You might have been thinking of the crate that had Halo stuff in it, which was that... what was it, the lunch kit? Or whatever it was? The metal lunch kit?
Oh, yeah, the December crate, maybe. Or the gaming...
Whatever it was, yeah.
It could have been that one, yeah.
I'm hoping that we might see some special Mega Block or even a special Hot Wheel or even a little additional bonus weapon pack for the Mattel figures.
Next
boxes to help promote the other retail lines that are being sold.
That would be cool. I think what everyone would agree is I don't know how many of you guys saw the Gears of War 4 loot crate, but it came with a little, the Lancer, which is the Gears of War iconic gun with the chainsaw. And it was metal, like diecast, and had like a little display stand. I think we could all agree what really needs to happen in this. It probably won't, but we'd all have to agree it would be awesome to have, is a little 3-4-inch Halo 1 pistol with a little, it sits on an angle and, has a little display stand, and you can put that on your desk. That's probably the most iconic thing, like a little trinket, would be cool.
You're saying like the diecast ones, like Master Replicas.
Exactly. Like a little Halo 1 pistol, M60D or whatever it is. I think that would be a perfect item for a loot crate.
I personally would like to see more of those kind of display style items. Not necessarily within the loot crate, but just as a general collector's items for Halo. Like having things with stands that you could put on a desk or a shelf.
But with the coming theme of Halo Ring, Halo CE, don't you think that would be a perfect little item to have in the loot crate? Nice little die-cast replica of the Halo 1 pistol that everyone loves?
That and some kind of Halo Ring, I think, would be really cool, too. Oh,
no, now you've hit the button with Kevin and the Halo Ring.
Don't get me started on that.
it's a good story, actually. If you guys want a little 2-minute blurb, Kev, Dust asked them the story because that's the only way I'll tell it.
That's my rant.
Go for it, Dust. It's a good little ring.
What's your rant about the Halo ring?
So here's my rant. We're now going to celebrate the 15-year anniversary of Halo, and you can say that the Halo merchandise didn't get rolling out the door until months later, if not a year. So we've got 14 years of merchandise behind us. And in all that time, we've never seen a Halo ring, any item based solely on an installation.
So like you were saying, there's no ring.
Like an actual license, it could be a coaster, a cup coaster, a wristband, a headband, a scarf, an actual ring you wore, you wear. Fans have made stuff like that, but we've never actually seen a licensed item based solely on the Halo ring. Halo ring.
I mean, that's just common sense that you would, make a actual Halo ring, whatever.
I mean, that's the freaking title of the game.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, 14 years, and we haven't seen, of course it's featured in products, you buy a t-shirt, it's got Master Chief standing there, it's got, he's standing on the Halo ring, it's got the Halo ring on the cover of the book.
The closest thing that anyone has ever gotten were those trophies that they handed out at Halo Fest a bunch of years back. Like, who was it? The Machinima Contest had that Halo ring. The Halo World Championship has the Halo ring. But they've never made a ring that anybody can, walk on in and buy or whatever.
Was Claude's award, did it have a ring?
Yeah, it had a ring. Him and Brian Newman and I can't remember who else won one. But yeah, it's got the little ring on it. It's hand-painted, but... and metal, but it's still a Halo ring from the company,
Yeah, there's just so many things that could be made that are a circle or a ring that can be something that doesn't need to be, out there. It doesn't need to be high-end, but, I mean, one item.
Halo brand condoms. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Family show. Yeah, that's a good point. And I would like to see something of some kind of Halo ring. But yeah, to your point, anything would be nice.
I'm a big supporter of like Christmas. Like I like ornaments and stuff, and I would love to have a little like Halo ring ornament. You know, be it you could plug it in, maybe a light socket would light up or something. But you know, something.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Like one of those nightlight design things.
A nightlight. Yeah, that, you know.
And you could have maybe like the ring firing the center pulse be the source of light or something.
You know, like a Hallmark
ring.
I would love to see a Mega Block version, maybe a signature series, you know.
Yeah, right.
How big would it have to be?
Well, 1 billion scale.
Well, I mean, just to get the detail within on the inside of the ring, it'd have to be at least some decent size.
Well, you don't necessarily need to make it Mega Block scale, as in, you know, it's in scale to all the other Mega Block items. It could be a Mega Blocks model, which if you're familiar with other construction toy companies, they sell like the Space Needle. And you construct it up. And it's obviously not in scale with their regular line, but it's a model. It's a representation of that. And they kind of did that with the Warthog, because they offered an upscaled Warthog through Toys R Us 1 year that was obviously meant to be a model of the Warthog and not a Warthog to fit in the regular Mega Bloks line.
You know who should make a model of a Halo ring, seeing as they have a company that does that? Dark Horse should do that. You know, they've already got the little Forerunner base. Now that they've got the Promethean, Phaeton. I mean, you know, why not? Have like a little ring and it sits on the little stand and there you go. Goes along with the other, Halo object models. You know, it's not just ship, but yeah, I guess the vehicle models.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
A nice little. They're not metal. What, Kevin? What are they? They're not. The ships are resin.
They're cold cast.
Okay. Well,
ceramic.
Do you think a little Dark Horse, say, you know, a ring that goes a ring the size of the Banshee, like a little 6-inch Halo ring for $35 or whatever dollars they charge, would sell well? I mean, do you think people would buy that? A detailed one.
That would be the only Halo designed item out there, I would say. Probably yes.
Okay, guys. Tell 343 in a tweet, Dark Horse Twitter ring for the like two people that are in the chat. How many people are in the chat?
I think 25. So.
There's 25 people in the chat. Okay. All 25 of you, if you're listening to us live right now, tweet at Pudding4Jeffrey. At Halo Gear, at Grim Brother 1, we want a Dark Horse Halo ring, please. Thank you.
Oh, Send- at Dark Horse, of course, too.
Oh, and at Dark Horse Comics. Sorry, them too.
There you go. So, I guess kind of while we're on the subject, what's your guys' like number one thing that you wish could be a Halo product that is not out there already, since you guys have done a lot with product stuff before, and it doesn't include the Halo ring, since we just talked about that for 5 minutes.
I'm kind of a big advocate for the PlayArts Kai line, which is by Square Enix. I would love for them to do a Arbiter in Halo 5 and Halo 2 Anniversary to match the Halo 2 Anniversary Chief, and I want a Halo 5 Arbiter. An Arbiter in PlayArts Kai 10-inch scale. Highly poseable. I don't care what it costs, because I'm a sucker for those, and an ODST in that scale. So an Arbiter and an ODST in PlayArt's Skyline is what I would love to have.
Gotcha. Kevin, how about you?
He wants a Halo ring that he can live on.
I'm a kid of the 80s, and I love my 3 3/4-inch action figures. And
Star Wars G.I. Joe.
Star Wars G.I. Joe. Yeah. To see a Halo line in 3 3/4-inch, because then you could do vehicles and stuff, that would probably be my little Halo heaven thing to have.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, if you remember G.I. Joe, that giant aircraft carrier that was like $100 in the 80s, Kevin wants something like that, but like a full-size Pelican that you can have a full-size scaled, Scorpion tank that you could attach to the back of the Pelican, and you can have like 40 little dudes, female and male Marines hiding out in the back of the Pelican, and a pilot and a Spartan and all that, but in 3¾ scale, and all for like the price is like $4 a figure or something like that, or $3.95 or whatever. And they have high articulation too, like G.I. Joe's.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they're durable. They're something that you can play around with, and they won't snap apart in your hands.
Okay, so not like G.I. Joe's then, because I remember I always by G.I. Joe's because they had the elastic.
G.I. Joe's were pretty good.
Oh no, because if you twisted them too much, the elastic band that held the chest to the crotch would snap. I know I did that to.
That was an easy repair.
Yeah, well, not when you're like 5 years old like I was.
As a kid, I repaired a lot of those.
I just bought a new one. I always broke I can't remember the G.I. Joe's name. He was the diver that was white and had the orange helmet, the deep sea diver guy. I can't remember his name. That's the one I kept on breaking.
There's a ton of stuff I would love to see. I would love to. I'm into Transformers, and I would love to see a little, like, you know,
Transformers Halo Warthog,
a Master Chief that goes into a Warthog, or an Elite that transforms into a Wraith, or, you know, I think that, you know, obviously people will be like, oh, you know, but that's just fun stuff. I like the fun stuff.
What about you, Dust, and Godzilla? What would you want?
I'm kind of in line with what Kevin was talking about. I personally like the stuff that I can kind of display out with a lot of my other collection stuff. There's nothing really specific though in that kind of realm that I've could specifically think of, but kind of one of the things looking through the Haley Museum when I was there was just some of the ODST stuff. And I would like to see a little bit more ODST and kind of UNSC Marine type stuff, type of merchandise.
Like what specifically?
Well, like for the ODST, there's the ODST flag, like their little, like from the...
Oh, like the one on the wall? Like the one that I gave Bungie a couple years ago?
Yeah, something like that would be kind of cool.
How about a helmet?
Helmets, yeah, like a little, like a little display helmet, like kind of like the cat helmets of the chief ones that you could paint, but just have some kind of helmet that's, or you're just like pre-made that could be put on the stand.
Like the old McFarlane ones that you could get for the 12-inch Master Chief action figures?
I guess I'm not aware of those specifically.
Well, no, because you're saying a little display helmet. During McFarlane's day, during Halo 3, you could get the Mark VI, EOD, etc., etc. They had a little ODST helmet that you could get only from those trucks that went around the country, and they all came with like a little display stands with like the name of the helmet and had like a little UNSC the bird, the symbol, a UNSC eagle on it. So you can
see those are the 1/6 scale.
Yeah
but I mean stuff like that. And then like one of my recent acquires was the Spanker ammo box.
Oh yeah, the one that held the controller and the game.
Yes, so like kind of pieces from the game itself, but as display pieces that you can put out in like a like, for example, I have the little light up Cortana thing as one of my pieces. I have Chief's cryo tube from Halo 4. I have all the Dark Horse ships. So it's like that kind of stuff that you can take from the game that's known and iconic and be able to display is stuff I would like to see a little bit more of.
Some people call those the secret handshake stuff, where it's like couldn't tell that it was from Halo unless you knew it was Halo.
I'm so mad that I gave this away. I had a couple items. I'm glad I kept my satchel bag, because that, you know, apparently is in universe that I got at PAX 2007. And it's like UNSC Marine satchel bag, but The one thing I'm mad that I gave away, I don't know why I gave it to a friend, but I had from the old Bungie store, I had a boonie hat, you know, like a marine hat that you wore, and you know, it had a rim and all the way around, and it had the old UNSC, the old school UNSC eagle, and stuff like that is old, and it was in, what was it, gray? Like, it was from Halo 1, so it was the marine boonie hat. And so, like I said, there really isn't many marine items that they sold even previous. So I could totally go and be down with that kind of item to buy. I'd be down with that.
Another thing, too, that I didn't even know was a thing until recently that I found on the Halo Collector BST group was I didn't know that they had a Halo Reach generator from Firefight or a flag plate.
They had the generator defense set, and what was it? What was that one where you captured the core?
That was the network test.
No. The Halo Reach game type that you had to capture the core, like
Invasion.
Invasion. Okay, yeah. So Invasion. There's an Invasion. Did you know there's also an Invasion set that came with a really cool looking Elite and the Covenant core. And then there was I can't remember what the Spartan was, but it also came with the Covenant or the UNSC core that the Covenant had to pull out. So yeah, there was a couple of sets like that.
The Capture the Flag one too.
Oh yeah, and the Capture the Flag one with all the skulls and the grab hammer and the griff ball and what was it? The Headhunter skulls. I think there was like 10. And the little what was it? The base for the flag. It had a cool little base.
Yeah, that kind of stuff would be, to me, the stuff I would the new, like, more stuff like that would be what I would want to see.
I'm excited because it's fine. I think Halo's gotten that inertia up that we'll start to see more and more stuff. And it's kind of a, you know, some of it's not going to be the best, but there's going to be some real winners. And you don't need to get everything, but it's going to give you with more options out there, it's going to give you more possibility to find something that you do like. And it's been hard sometimes to even find stuff that you like, because there hasn't been that much stuff out there. And I know there's people that are, oh, I don't want to see Halo plastered everywhere, but you know, it's a good sign to kind of see it that way, to see the Halo everywhere, because that means, you know, you've got that selection, you've got that possibility, it's getting attention from, you know, different aspects, different people. You might not like it in certain ways, but, you know, it might be the perfect thing for someone else. Ooh. And that's just exciting to see that.
Well, the thing was that you remember when we were at that thing, you know, and I suggested a practical item, and, you know, I said a lighter would be cool, right? Well, I didn't even realize until like 2 or 3 days ago that there was a Halo 2 refillable lighter that someone on Halo Collector had actually posted, like a really cool, you know, I'm not a smoker or anything. I just like cool little practical items, like a Swiss. Say there was like a Halo Swiss Army knife, but, you know, I suggested a lighter because, I mean, that's a practical item, whether you smoke, camp, whatever, fire is fire, it's a practical item. But yeah, there was a really cool engraved silver lighter, and I thought, wow, that was cool. I had no idea that existed until like 2 days ago, and I'm like, I want that, but I want it like the one that Johnson has in ODST, that one. But it's still really cool that they made that. And I
was
had
that
no
license,
idea.
Though?
Yeah, it's posted by that Cyro guy, the guy from France. He posted like a couple his Halo 5, Halo 4, Halo 2, and Reach, I think, recent editions. Yeah, it's licensed. It's got a box and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, as Halo Collector, we try to find everything we can and categorize it and make sure, you know, whoever wants to know about it finds out about it. But there's a lot of merchandise out there, be it consumer products that are sold at retail or just promotional material that has been given away somehow that is foreign. It never sees the shores of the United States or North America. And that's some of the most interesting stuff is to find out that like show bags are has a bag full of Halo you can buy for like $20. And I, up till just a couple months ago, I didn't even know what a show bag was, but it's something that's really popular in Australia, and here Halo has one. There's a whole bunch of other items like school supplies. There's been numerous Halo school supplies down in Mexico that we've never seen up here. Overseas in the UK, there's been quite a few different like mugs and little knickknack items that we never see here in America. And it's interesting to be able to reach out there, especially to other the other collectors that are not in the U.S. and find out what they have and what they've been able to collect and share that with everybody.
Dust, do you have any more questions instead of us just rambling?
Nothing specifically. There was one other question I was going to ask.
Okay. Just looking at the clock, that's all.
Yeah, I know. The only other thing I could really think of, unless Godzilla had something else to bring up, is just kind of what do you guys see the direction of consumer products branching into as far as new types of products that we could see for the franchise? Or where would you like to see it go?
Oh, where would I like to see it go? I'd like to see. I really see them going after the new generation because that's the only way to sustain, you know, sustain it. I mean, you can't just live off the old Halo guys. You got to get and ladies. You got to get the new ones too. So they're gonna start going younger. You know, I don't know how to say it other than that. I mean, look how many people we saw post. Unicracken and South, you know, there's a perfect example. That's a two generation Halo family. They bought their kids Master Chief disguise costumes, you know, and wore them for Halloween, and they're now Halo fans, and you know, so that's how it's gonna start. I don't know how to say it other than that. That's a perfect example. They're gonna go after the multi generational Halo families, consumers.
Yeah, and I think that's great.
I'm not disagreeing. I mean, that's how I think you're going to see products happening. You're going to see mom and dad that are Halo fans buy their sons and daughters or whatever their child identifies as, Halo stuff. I mean, you know, dad's going to buy son, daughter, person that identifies as however they feel. Cortana, Master Chief costume, Elite costume, whatever, toys, and then said child will buy parents that are fans also items for Christmas, birthday, whatever. And it's just gonna grow that way, and then hopefully son, daughter, you know, child continues the tradition. It's just, that's sustaining it.
Yeah, I think the younger audience is a most definite, and I think another aspect is the ladies and the women that enjoy the Halo. There's a lot of products out there that could definitely be targeted towards them that they could enjoy.
Are we allowed to mention that thing? Like, mention it?
No.
Okay, please. Never mind. Never mind. Let's just say there are plenty of ladies that appreciate Halo products and they've had their opinion heard.
So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming out for everyone, and I hope everybody just, you know, if you don't like it, okay, you know, we understand, but you know, don't say it's not Halo or it's not my Halo. You know, be positive about it because there's probably somebody who does really love it, and you know, it's a good thing.
And another thing is, it might not be your air quotes Halo. But if this Halo doesn't succeed, the Halo that you like won't get products. Both have to succeed. Like, as an example, if you want Halo CE stuff in off years when they're not selling games, you need to appreciate and the stuff that comes out, like say it's Halo 5 or Halo 6 or Halo Wars 2. If that stuff doesn't sell, whatever they're selling, then they're not going to come around and be like, hey, I'm going to make a Halo 2 or... Halo 1 or Halo 3, whatever, you know, unless the previous stuff sells. Like, you know, if X doesn't sell, you're not going to get Y that you want because the money didn't come back from the previous investment. And if that happens too many times, you know.
But I see a positive future for Halo. I still think it's growing. I think the franchise is definitely still.
It's very viable. It's not shrinking. It's profitable. Let's put it that way.
Got it.
I think it's going up, and hopefully will improve more. It's continually improving.
That's good. GT, did you ever answer what you wanted to see as far as new Halo product?
Yeah, I want to see a Stretch Armstrong Chief.
They could do a flood infected one.
Oh, jeez.
Even better.
If we're talking about wacky stuff from our childhoods and you want Stretch Armstrong, I want a Mr. Potato Head Chief and Cortana.
Okay.
Although that does bring up something. You do kind of bring up something that I hadn't really thought about in a while, and that is flood collectibles. We don't have much of that outside of the McFarlane figures and Mega Bloks.
There was a couple of flood figures from Joyride, but not many. There was a flood carrier. Was it carrier? Infection form. No. Well, what's the one where the grunt is really big and explodes and shoots out infection forms? Carrier form? Yeah. Okay. So in Halo 1 Joyride, there's a flood carrier form. And Halo 2, there's an infected marine combat form. And in one of the reissues of Master Chief, there's a little infection form. I think that was the last one they released from Joyride.
Xbox a couple years ago also did the infection form.
Which one?
The carrier and the infection form.
McFarlane?
Mega Bloks.
Oh, Mega Bloks. Yeah, you'd know better than I would. I'm only a small Mega Bloks guy. And McFarlane did, what was it, the perfect form? I can't remember what that one was called. It was before it became the, it was a spider-looking guy. Spider-looking flood. Can't remember what it was called. And the infected marine. What would you want as an example for anyone that's on the product team that may be listening?
I think a flood like plushie would be interesting. Fu Manchu Gravemind.
Oh yeah, the Halo Anniversary Gravemind with the whiskers, Fu Manchu.
Yeah, I thought he was a catfish.
Oh, catfish. You know, I'm not being racist. The Fu Manchu thing was, you know, from many movies, so that's the reason I brought it up.
I would like to see more Guilty Spark merchandise. I think he's a...
Well, he's only got the one item, right? McFarlane figure? Or...
I think a Vlocks had one.
All right, I forgot.
Wait, they did?
Yeah, it was in one of those, the blind packs. Like, Series Delta? Or was it Delta?
I think it was, like, Series 8.
Okay. So it's not the Alpha, Bravo, whatever. Okay. No. 2014 or 12 or something like that. It's a couple of years ago. Came with, where did it come with it? There was two little things on it. There was the Guilty Spark and something else.
Oh, I think an infection form. Okay. And it came with the two eyes so you can make him angry. But no, it's a character I wish we would see more of in merchandise. He's an easy one to do, you know. A lot of different spherical objects could be definitely...
And then you could repaint him out and make him penitent tangent and whatever the other monitors were in Halo Anniversary, the other colored ones.
Halo sports equipment. You know, that, you know, some soccer balls. I would love to see some camping supplies too, actually. You know, flashlights and coolers and cantina. There's a lot.
But yeah, so I think there's a lot of potential out there for different ideas, and there's definitely new things coming out.
Why don't you ask the chat what they want? What would they want? We haven't heard from the chat.
I'm not sure who's even in.
If there's anyone left.
I think everyone is worrying about the election right now.
Everybody is out voting.
No, voting's almost over.
Well, not for West Coast. Well, maybe.
For another 15 minutes.
Okay, well, for anybody that's left in the chat, they can hear us. What would you want if there's anyone left?
I'm checking to see if there's anyone left in here. Just Raikou. He's the only one at the moment. I think it's one of those one of those things that we're just getting. I mean, the universe is expanding, so there's ideas for merchandise expanding with it, which is kind of cool. But I think there's a lot of stuff that's been left over that we haven't had much get developed for or much made for. Stuff like the Flood and other things. But there's just a lot of possibilities out there. So,
well, there's February when Halo Wars release, it's also that same month will be Toy Fair, and so I'm sure we'll probably see quite a bit of new merchandise, and then the new Halo Wars 2 game, and I think we're going to be sitting pretty for next year.
You know, I finally get my Spirit of Fire. It's been a while, but I get one finally. I'm happy.
All right, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, Laird and Kevin, for coming on and talking with us. We're going to include the interview that we did with James Monosmith in the post-produced episode. So for those listening to live, you'll have to download the episode to go get the interview. But for those of you who have been listening, thanks again for tuning in to us. We do have, like Laird mentioned earlier, a little discount that you can get with Loot Crate. So they did announce the third Loot Crate theme, which is Halo Conflict. Kind of harkening back to Halo 1 stuff, because we have Halo's 15th anniversary actually coming up next week. So we'll be doing a kind of special recording for that as well. We'll try to get some guests on to just kind of reminisce over the past 15 years for Halo, which has been so awesome. So you can go on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and then use the promo code podtacular, and you'll get $3 off your crate. So if you're doing a month-to-month thing, whether it's you're doing just the crate as they come out and this one is of interest to you, then you can use the code there, like Laird mentioned earlier, or you can sign up for one of the longer subscriptions. There is a 6-month subscription, which gets you 3 crates, and a full year subscription, which gets you 6 crates. And you can head on over again to lootcrate.com/podtacular. And sorry, what was that?
With the full year subscription, you get a legendary pin.
I thought that was only for if you got the year subscription with the first crate.
People have been assuming that the boxes are only for a year, but this will keep going for as long as it's viable, as long as the people are interested in buying it. So, I mean, this could go for years. And so at any time you sign up for the year in advance, then you get that pin.
Okay. I didn't know that. I know talking with James earlier today, he said that they don't have plans to... I mean, they have plans to keep making the Loot Crate as long as there's interest in it. So I didn't know that the pin, though, was something along the lines of it was only for the... you could get it whenever you do a year subscription. I guess because there's supposed to come out with Fireteam Apollo stuff within Halo 5 too. Is there any more word on that?
No idea.
Other than the one little display card that we have for your nameplate that we've gotten so far.
I think that's currently it. Other than the Fireteam Apollo stuff is the Loot Crate guy. I mean, you know, your whatever the serial number, and then LC is part of Fireteam Apollo. I think for now, that's currently it.
Okay. You can also check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. We record our shows live on Tuesdays now, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So you can check us out there for live recordings. If not, you can download the show afterwards via iTunes or any other podcast aggregator out there. I think there's an entry for us on Stitcher. Zune Marketplace sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. And then we need to work on getting ourselves onto the Google Podcast and a couple other stuff. But you can find our RSS feed on our website, podtacular.com, and download past episodes from there as well. You can also check us out on the Podcast Network, part of a network of gaming-specific podcasts, which includes Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and The Learning Cliff, which hasn't been making episodes lately, but it's still getting some attention from people that are interested in EVE Online. And then there's an unofficially affiliated podcast called Podcast 76, which is the breakoff podcast from Critzcast to cover Overwatch. So you have those four gaming-specific podcasts, and then you have Work in Progress and How to Murder Time as also part of the podcast network. And you can find that over at podka.st. And again, they're just really cool shows to listen to if you're interested in the games that they cover, or if you're just looking for something to pass the time, whether it's on your drive to and from work, or if it's just something to kind of fill your ears with some background. They are really well produced. The hosts are really good at what they do, and they're really good podcast to check out. And you can check out Laird and Kevin over on Halo Collector on Facebook. Facebook.com/Halo Collector, I believe, is the URL. Is that correct?
Or HaloCollector.com will redirect you there. But yes.
That works too. And then you guys are also on Twitter, Halo Collector, Instagram, YouTube. Any other place that I missed?
That's it.
We're basically all around.
So again, I heavily recommend that you guys check them out if you are into any kind of collecting, whether it be just the games, collector's editions, books, Mega Bloks, figures, plushies, special high-end items, whatever it is. There's a great community over there, and you will find some pretty awesome stuff that you may have not ever seen before. I think there's one person that's over there working on a collection of all the different kinds or different versions of the games, and he's up to like, what, 107 now?
Yeah, it's some ridiculous number. It's awesome.
Over 107 different editions of Halo games have been made. And granted, that includes things like different language discs, but still, that's quite a collection.
Yes, yes.
So interesting stuff like that you will find over at Halo Collector. So I highly recommend you guys go check them out. Please go check them out. It's been awesome having you guys on. And hopefully we'll have you guys back on whenever we have some other big merchandise news, or maybe just kind of do a follow-up within the year. And
thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. All right. That'll wrap it up for 5:59 for us here on the Twitch stream. But for those that are listening to us after the show, make sure you stay tuned for our interviews with James Monosmith, who is the sales and marketing manager for Halo Consumer Products, and then a few other special interviews with some of the other licensed franchise companies out there. So thanks for listening, and we will see you on the flip side. Hey everybody, this is Dustrum here, and I'm sitting down with the sales and marketing manager for Halo Consumer Products, Mr. James himself. You guys have probably heard him on before, but James Monosmith has been kind of in the limelight for some of the Halo product stuff. You've seen him on live streams, you've seen him in videos, and now he's making his debut appearance on Podtacular. So welcome to the podcast.
Oh, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the chance to come on. We're in a little bit of a lull of some Halo news as far as Halo Wars or Halo 5 goes, so figured it might be a good time to spread our wings a little bit and dip into some other fascinating areas of the Halo universe, one of which I don't think we've really covered before that much on the podcast, which is kind of the product side of things, since there's been a lot of growth in that, especially over the past couple of iterations of games, especially kind of back in Reach.
Oh yeah,
kind of made a big push.
Big push back then. It really helped with Reach, having that really cool differentiated cast of characters really lent itself well to the action figures and kind of exploded from there.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of background about how you got involved with doing Halo products and kind of what your legacy is of doing work with product before Halo.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been in licensing, or what's what we call licensed merchandise, for pretty much my entire career, so going on, 13 years now. Originally, before I started working for Microsoft, I was a director over at Acme Archives working on collectible art prints and other different kind of things, posters, et cetera. I actually started working with Microsoft back for Halo 3 days. We were approached by Microsoft at the time to take on an art license for Halo. And as a big fan of the game, I jumped at it and signed us up over at Acme for Halo back in, it would have been 2008 timeframe. And I've been working pretty close with Microsoft ever since. And then, you know, an opportunity came up to actually work for 343 back in 2011. And I took it, and it's been a fantastic journey.
Nice. So what are some of the products that kind of particularly interest you over the past time of working with Halo? I know we have a lot of different things to talk about, but kind of taste for what you like in the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I like all kinds of things. You know, what I really like is when we do... You know, collectibles are great. I've always been a big collectibles guy, but collectibles always to me is kind of low-hanging fruit. It's the stuff that any franchise can kind of pop out there and do, whether it's statues or vinyl figures or even t-shirts. I like, you know, really kind of doing fun stuff where we can impact the most people. Well, you know, one of my favorite companies to work with over the past 3 years has been Mega Bloks and Mattel, just because they've, you know, the way that they try to innovate and create new and exciting products, but also, you know, limit themselves to the toy market and price points and how to actually go into the marketplace has been really exciting for me. And it's allowed our brand to spread its wings and reach new audiences and a new generation of Halo fans. And that to me is what is most exciting. I mean, licensed merchandise and the reason to have it is twofold. I mean, one is it gives our fans an opportunity to kind of, you know, rock their colors, you know, like sports franchises, they have their jerseys and their t-shirts and you go out there and you show it off on game day. Well, with pop culture franchises or gaming franchises, you know, we have our collectibles and our licensed merchandise to show people what we love and why we love these franchises. Obviously, Star Wars has been doing it for a very long time and are the gold standard, but I'm extremely proud of how Halo comes out and shows up and the kind of stuff we put out there for our fans to gravitate towards and to pick up and to show off their brand. So, I mean, it's kind of an easy answer. I mean, I guess the more specific stuff is I love our Boomco blasters. I mean, I haven't had more fun playing with toys in a very, very long time. I actually keep an AR rifle or an M85 and an energy sword at my desk at all times just because it's fun to have around.
That's awesome. Those things are really cool. And it's actually kind of neat to see some kind of practical application, because I know there was a while the issue of the whole thing of trying to get some kind of consumer weapon thing out there into the market. So having these Boomco things is actually a really cool thing to finally have. And I know a lot of the 405th folks have taken them, spray painted them, and used them as part of their outfit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the being sensitive to, you know, weapons, you know, we understand that, yes, we're a T-rated title, kids play our games, it's great, but also, you know, we have a lot of militaristic weapons, and trying to, you know, it's a fine line, because we don't want to just put out there an exact replica of a militaristic weapon, because, you know, there's a lot of bad things that can happen from that. You know, we want to make sure and be very mindful of what we're doing from a merchandise standpoint. And Boomco gave us an opportunity to put out our UNSC weapons in a way that we felt was safe and kid-friendly and accessible. And not only that, the way that we were also worked with the game team directly to bring in the skins into Halo 5 and the Rex was fantastic. So, you know, we actually legitimized our own weapons by making the Boomco skins for both the Magnum and the AR available to play with it. I know that they are my weapons of choice and my loadout every single time I play.
Nice. I've been rocking those skins for a while now. I think there's been some recent ones, the Tron looking weapons that I've equipped recently, because those just look really cool.
Those are fantastic.
But yeah, for a while I was rocking the Boomco ones because they're really awesome. There's a lot of different kind of considerations I think you guys have really moved towards kind of more recently with Halo 4 and Halo 5 being a lot more kid focused. And you just came out with the Master Chief costume for Halloween this about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and there's just kind of a nice diversity of age range of products for Halo. So how do you guys address that kind of concern with the consumers, or try to make sure that you're making products that span the full gambit of age ranges, from people that are either kids from like elementary school up to like 60s or 70 year olds that are playing Halo and are really into kind of the deep in the thick of it as far as collectibles and things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we look at everything under two glasses. One is, you know, Honor the Core is one of our pillars from a consumer products. Anything we do and every kind of product, even for the ones that's oriented towards a younger demographic, we always think, is this true to the Halo brand? Is this true to the Halo universe? Because we want to be authentic. I mean, one of the coolest things about what we do is we are located here inside of 343 Studios. It's not like we're an off-site business group under Xbox in a different building just kind of going willy-nilly. We are here with the entire dev team and community team, and we do real-time feedback. You know, we talk to them, they talk to us, and we try to make sure that what we put out is really about the brand, and that we're really hitting the notes that all of us who are fans, I mean, I don't know, you know, everybody here who works on the game is a huge fan of the franchise, and we want to make sure it's something that we're proud of and we like. You know, at the same time, we're given a unique opportunity with what we do to expand the brand into a new audience. You know, when you think about, like, how did we all start collecting to begin with? Well, it all started when we were kids and we collected action figures, whether it was G.I. Joe's, Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, Star Wars, whatever. I mean, that's where that passion comes from. And we had so much joy in collecting as kids that I think it's important for the Halo franchise is to pass that down, to pass it forward, so that the next generation of kids who are growing up loving video games and loving the Halo franchise has an opportunity to start collecting when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, so that they have a passion and a brand when they're 30, 40 years old like we are. So it's a balance that we play, but it's one that I think is the most exciting, because we get to create the products that when we were kids we would have wanted. And that's, you can see a lot in the products that we're putting out now. Like when we design action figures and work with Mattel, we're trying to make them to be the ones that are available to the younger demographic, but also ones that we would have wanted to play with then and are proud to play with now or show off now. So it's something with everything that we do, we try to do both. And then at the same time, you know, we have a collectibles program that is oriented towards our older audience, where we get to go deeper into the lore and do some of the, you know, inside baseball kind of references and do some of the products that maybe aren't as applicable to a larger audience, but definitely honors our core and gives our fans, you know, who've been with us for 15 years, stuff they're really looking for.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier kind of the whole, like, how Star Wars has had a full range of products, and it just kind of reminded me, I got my interest in collectibles doing Star Wars Legos, and then once I saw that Halo had Mega Bloks, I was instantly hooked, kind of feeding that childhood memory of collecting those things. So that was definitely an in for me, and it's just really cool to see how kind of the variety of different products that there are, from the different collector's editions for the games, to the consoles, to the lunch boxes, to the books, the weapons now, all the NECA stuff. I mean, I have my giant Needler sitting behind my computer monitors, which is kind of like my biggest piece of my whole collection.
Yeah, that thing is awesome. It's so awesome.
But it's just a testament to the diversity of the products that you guys have made. And now you have the Halo Legendary crate that has some pretty exclusive stuff in there as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how you started getting or talking with Loot Crate and getting that all kind of pulled together?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I mentioned, our entire team is made up of fans and collectors. I mean, we are the people who, like, you know, our action figure team who's working on approvals also subscribe to Maddie Collector and get all the Thundercats figures. I mean, it's a world that we engross ourselves in, and I have been getting Loot Crate for a while, and so a couple other people on the team, and I had a chance to work with Loot Crate in a couple different Halo offerings. You might have seen, like, the lunch tin that we did. We included some ODST drop pods from Mega Bloks. We did a scarf, a few things that we got a chance to work with their direct crate, and that was exciting. And then, you know, we just started having a conversation after we saw the success of the Firefly crate that they produced. we really thought of like, hey, you know, we have an amazing fan base, amazing install base, and great products and offers that we could do to do our own crate. So it was a conversation that was a no-brainer for both of us. And what's exciting about the Legendary Crate is we work on it every single week. I think we have like 3 or 4 meetings every single week about what's going in. We don't just hand over reins to Loot Crate, but it all flows through our team because we want to make sure, you know, to separate out the Halo Crate from anything else. You know, what we have is we have an amazing story, amazing lore, and all of our products are connected. And we really pride ourselves on our offers and we really pride ourselves on creating things that our fans will fall in love with. So, you know, as we are designing these crates, we sit there and we talk and we try to think of what is it that we can go deep into the lore and deep in, you know, the nods to different aspects of our games over the years to really kind of make it a special offering each single time. I think we're shipping our third crate in another month or so. So we've done 2 now, working on our third. But, you know, we're already working on our 5th, 6th, 7th crates right now and working on the assortment so that we can make sure and have the best products possible.
So with the success of how the Loot Crate has been so far, I know that there's been kind of a guarantee that it's going to be going out for a year or at least 6 in the first year. Is the response kind of good enough where you guys are considering a second year or just kind of keep on going until as for long as people are interested in the Loot Crate? Will this open doors to other possible partnerships with subscription opportunities or maybe looking at other kind of sets of collectibles down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think twofold. We have a plan through 6 right now. We've announced it's going well for us, and our plan isn't to stop anytime soon. So we'll keep evaluating. We want to make sure we keep on delivering the quality of product, and as we look at heading into next year, because I think, you know, I think 6 is planned through June or July of next year. Well, we would, you know, ideally like to keep it going indefinitely as long as the fans are into it, and as long as we can keep on coming up with really cool ideas. Yeah, I mean, the success of it is definitely opening up to our thoughts to other ways that we can provide our content to our fans. As far as other subscription services, you know, we're excited that we're working with Loot Crate, and I think they're the bee's knees and the top of the industry, and we want to continue working with them. But we're always looking at other ways that we can deliver other types of content to our fans in meaningful ways, and if something else comes up, we're definitely going to take a look at it. It is allowing us to kind of spread our wings in the collectible side and work on things that we normally haven't done before. And I think it'll allow us to create even more cooler collectibles through other lines over the course of the next year, heading into the next title of Halo Wars 2. And I think our fans are going to be excited about what we have coming up.
And you guys also recently started a new Twitter account called Halo Gear, which is kind of featuring a lot of the new stuff that's coming out. And it's featured a few older items as well, and just kind of the interaction with the community has been pretty great. Is there kind of plans to use that Twitter account as just a central hub of announcement stuff or interacting with fans who are really into the collecting Halo stuff, or like what's the best way for people to use that Twitter account?
Yeah, I mean, I think that account, you know, the reason we created it is, you know, we do a lot of postings to our main account, but really, you know, our collecting community is such a huge part of our community that we wanted to give them a dedicated voice, similar to how we did it with HCS, and we you know, gave our esports community a dedicated voice through the @HCS account. We wanted to do something very similar to our collecting community, which is strong and very vocal. And so, yeah, we created that as an all up hub to talk about all things collecting Halo. Whether it's actual items, stuff we're selling, or you know, stuff people come up or even make, or even you know, showcase stuff done by the 405th and more. It will be a central location for announcements and regular beats on new products coming in, behind the scenes looks, announcements, all that kind of thing, but also just a general forum for our community to reach out to us about the different Halo products, what they like, what they don't like, what they'd like to see, show off their collections, show off their fan-created videos with Mega Bloks, whatever. I mean, it's really kind of a home for that world.
That's really cool. I know we're kind of wrapping up on time here, but what's some of the other ways that people can really interact with you guys on the products team as far as, like, if someone has an idea or if people have feedback about product or whatnot? Is Waypoint Forums the best way to go, or is there other methods out there that the community can really interact with you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I think the two major ones are the Waypoint forums. So I would say the Waypoint forums are good. At Halo Gear, you know, you get that gets directly to us. A lot of our members are on the Halo Collector forums. They're all on there, and they go over there every single day. They're in there reading everything you guys are doing. So that's also a great place to talk to us directly. So I would say between the Facebook Halo Collector page and at Halo Gear and the Waypoint forums, you got pretty much all of us covered.
Very nice. Well, James, thanks for taking the time to kind of sit down with us and talk a little bit about Halo product. Hopefully we can have you on at some point in the future when we get some more big, cool things coming down our way. I have to say, probably my most favorite collectible item that I've gotten so far is probably that Needler, because it's just so freaking huge.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing when you think, when you build one of those Covenant weapons to scale, just how massive it is. You're like, oh yeah, that's right, they're huge, and these weapons are gigantic.
Yeah. Thanks again. This has been James Monosmith, Sales and Marketing Manager for the Halo Consumer Products line. And we will talk to you guys later.